to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, September 19th. You're listening to the Political Cesspool on the Liberty News Radio Network and their affiliate AM and FM stations across the country, as well as our flagship station here, or should I say including our flagship station here, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, which is, of course, an affiliate of Liberty News Radio. And we're on the internet and satellite as well. We're happy to have you with us for tonight's third hour. During the first hour, Keith Alexander and I covered a cornucopia of issues. During the last hour with Officer Jack McLam, we covered a lot of good information. It wasn't an interview that went quite like I thought it would, or quite as I had planned, I guess, but still some good information there. We encourage you to check out Jack's website for more information. If you have some questions about these internment camps that we know exist, and we know without any shadow of doubt that the government is actively involved in orchestrating a new world order. You want more information about it, though? I don't want to revisit that issue again during this hour. We spent enough time last hour with it. If you want some more information on it, just email us. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, and Eddie Miller has extensive documentation for you to form your own conclusions. But this hour, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be an hour spent with you. Me and you, we're going to talk. We're going to take some calls. 1-866-986-NEWS is that toll-free line for you to be on the Political Cesspool this evening. And in doing so, this hour, we will be covering a lot of different subjects that I hope will pique your interest. And we're going to go to those phone calls. I know we have a couple of callers on the line right now. We're going to go to those phone calls in just a moment. But the first issue I want to bring up before we go to the phones, I don't know how much you follow pop culture or entertainment, but this was something that I saw. My wife was flipping through the channels. Now, I'm the oldest 29-year-old you'll ever meet. I love 1950s and 60s pop music, the Four Seasons, the Beach Boys, Neil Sedaka, Gary Puckett, you know, people like that. My wife, though, now she's a 23-year-old, very much in tune, obviously, with our political persuasion here in the cesspool, lest her and I would not be compatible as a couple. But she's a 23-year-old part-time model, beautiful, and she likes contemporary stuff like Taylor Swift. Now, Taylor Swift is a young country singer who you might have heard about this week in an incident at the Video Music Awards. Now, because of my wife, I have heard more of Taylor Swift than I would ever listen to on my own. But the story is this. A beautiful white girl, Taylor Swift, she's a country singer. She won an award on national television for Best Video. But white people shouldn't be allowed to win anything. So black thug Kanye West came up while Taylor Swift was saying how much the award meant to her. He then grabbed the mic and began screaming that Beyonce deserved the award instead. After that, another black rapper said, quote, "You can't blame a man for speaking his mind," unquote. Now, this is the sort of savagery and disrespect that we can expect much more of in the days that come, unless European Americans unite and speak out for our own racial interest. And for those of you with short memories, Kanye West was also the black thug, the black rapper, who in a concert some years back came out draped in a Confederate flag and then began stomping on it and shredding it and this, that, and the other on stage. He also urinated on his dressing room carpet last year in England. I guess the moral of the story is this, just further proof that you can have a civilized country or you can have diversity, but you can't have both. Kanye West, Taylor Swift, you've seen it. It's been, wow, it's just had an obscene amount of publicity this week, but that's our take on it. And that's my quote of the day, straight from James Edwards. Write it down. You use it as your own. You can have a civilized country, or you can have diversity, but you can't have both. And I thank Kanye West for giving us further proof of that. I also like, now this is the guy so classy, he walks into the VMAs carrying an open bottle of Hennessy, you know, the alcohol. And one of our commenters on the blog on our website said he was also accompanied by a giant python who had just finished swallowing a chimpanzee. He was referring to the woman, if you can call her that, that Kanye West, his date to the thing. You got to go look at what she was wearing. This is what I'm talking about. We don't want America to go there. But we're going to go to the phones now. Clint Lacey, or should I say Alderman Clint Lacey, an elected official from Marble Hill, Missouri, is on the line. Clint, what's going on tonight, my friend? It was good talking to you a couple of days ago.
Yes, sir. I had two things. Now I guess I got three real quick. in regards to Kanye West, first of all, him urinating on the carpet, I guess you can't blame a brother who's got to let rid of some Hennessy.
Well, alcohol goes through you faster than water.
This might have brought on the one thing that I agree with Barack Obama on. I might not ever agree with him again on anything, but he called Kanye West a jackass.
That's right, he did.
The other thing I wanted to refer to was the swine flu shots.
Right.
I was wondering about them myself because I don't know if a lot of people know this. It was actually on mainstream news. About half of those are coming from China, the same folks that killed our dogs with poisoned wheat gluten and poisoned toothpaste that was being imported. So that's another good one right there. And in regards to swine flu shots and stuff, Alex Jones has a lot of good information on his website as well, Infowars.com.
Right, that's right. And Clint, since you brought it up, Eddie, as I mentioned in the last segment, a couple of shows ago, you did a pretty good presentation, a very good presentation, in fact, on vaccines. What do you make of the swine flu vaccine? Is there going to, in fact, I know Jack McLamb says there is, but is there going to be a swine flu vaccine that's mandated and mandatory for school kids, and what effect would it have on them, in your opinion?
Well, I do know that there is an executive order that says that the government can force you to take vaccines of any type they say. And I do also know that, we had Dr. Russell Blaylock owned one program I'm talking about Alex Jones. I listen to him quite a bit, too. But and I subscribe to his he has an online newspaper. I subscribe to it. And he's one of the experts that I've heard say they have these chemicals in there. They have this stuff called adjuvants, and one of them is squalene. And squalene, what squalene does, and that's put into the swine flu vaccine a lot. And I'm glad that the representative mentioned the fact that a lot of these, over 40% of them 3 years ago, now probably over half, like the representative said, the vaccines are manufactured in Red China. And the people will say, well, the FDA has oversight on that. Well, yes, the FDA inspects these factories once every 13 years. They go to Red China and inspect the factories once every 13 years. We don't know. Dr. Russell Blaylock says these vaccines protect against nothing. He says we know for sure that they're worthless, especially a flu vaccine. It's always good for like last year's flu. What we do know for sure is they can kill and they can maim, and what they can do with these adjuvants, the squalene I told you about, and the different other metals like the mercury they put in there, thimerosal that they claim is the authorities claim is a preservative, they can cause your body to go into its immune system to go into like a hyperactive overdrive, and that's what killed the squalene and the adjuvants is what kills the people more so than the virus. All right, and the way it works on your on your immune system. And the healthier, the younger and healthier people like you, James, they're the ones that are more at risk because people about your age have a strong immune system. And so what happens is your immune system greatly overreacts, and it causes the body to attack itself sort of like an autoimmune disease like lupus. Lupus is an autoimmune disease. There's others out there. And the people, for instance, that's what happened in the Spanish flu of 1918. We were talking about
that was the flu that McLamb was referring to. It wasn't the swine flu in 1918. It was the Spanish flu.
It was the Spanish flu. That's what stopped World War One. A lot of people don't know that. But
Eddie, just hang on one second. I know you got more comments there. We got to take another timeout. But listen, folks, it's open mic time in the cesspool. Anything you want to talk about, any issue you want to raise, any question you want to ask, this is your time. We don't always have time to take calls, and I know a lot of people who call in don't get through, but the lines are open right now, 1-866-986-NEWS, 1-866-986-NEWS. That's toll-free. Give us a call during this next commercial break. We'll be waiting for you on the other side. We'll be back with more James Edwards and Eddie Miller in the cesspool tonight right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you took down that number, 1-866-986-NEWS. We want to hear from you. I guess basically, Eddie, to sum it up what you were saying in the last segment before the break, think twice before you take a vaccine, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do it or don't not do it just because we're advocating an opinion here. The only opinion we're advocating is that you might need to think twice about it. Do your own research and form your own conclusion. If everyone did that, America would be in much better shape than we are today. But whatever you do, don't do something just because the government recommends it or advises it. God knows. Alderman Clint Lacey, I know you're still on the line. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring to our attention tonight, my friend?
Excuse me.
Yes.
I didn't catch what you said.
Oh, it's okay. Right. I know I talk fast sometimes. I was just saying, Clint, I know you were still there, and before you left, I wanted to give you the opportunity to raise another issue if you had one, or simply say goodbye.
Yeah, one more thing. He's talking about the MIAC reports.
Right out there in Missouri.
Right, and it was a Missouri state trooper that broke it.
That's right.
And it kind of, you know, back when they tried to push a slavery apology bill through Missouri, Missouri Southerners lit up the phone lines on the last day of the session. We killed it.
Good.
And the Campaign for Liberty folks killed the MIAC. Governor Nixon originally supported it. And
well, see,
it was
this is the point.
Firestorm.
And obviously you're an elected official in Missouri, so you know better than us.
Yes.
But this is something that proves that every now and then, if people will rise up and take action, something favorable can occur. I have no doubt that that MIAC thing would still be in effect had the people not done something about it.
Well, I'll give you one better than that, and I can't believe I got it passed, but me and my fellow council members have very many differences, I'll put it to you that way. So I drew up an ordinance that would ban police, which I will say this, like all of our police here in town, but I was thinking of the future and kind of protecting them as well. But it would prohibit the police from pulling somebody over based on political affiliations or bumper stickers, and I got it passed unanimously.
Well, and see, and that's outstanding because obviously the people they would be targeting aren't the people with Obama-Biden stickers on. It's people with Ron Paul or Pat Buchanan bumper stickers. So
Right. Bravo
to you there. Now, see, this once again shows, now, this is a guy, Clint Lacey, gives me as much hope as anybody. Clint, before you go, what's your website?
ClintLacey.com. That's Clint, ClintLacy.com. And I will be among those not taking any shots as well. Keep up the good work, gentlemen, defending freedom, the South, and America. Thank you.
Well, you can count on us to do all three, especially the South. Thank you, Alderman Clint Lacey, elected official in Marble Hill, Missouri. Check him out at ClintLacy.com. We have a call from Oregon now, home of my Portland Trailblazers, and I'm still stewing over what happened in Game 7 of those 2000 Western Conference Finals. Mark from Oregon, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here, James.
How's it going?
Great. It's beautiful out here right now.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to come to Oregon a couple of times. It really is, really majestic. What can we do for you tonight, my friend?
Regarding the speaker of the last session there, Jack McLam.
Yeah. Yes.
If I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's right.
He made reference to the propagation of poppy fields in Afghanistan. in the mid-'80s, I was working at a major aircraft proof-of-concept developer slash prototyper on the West Coast. One of our customers was approached by the CIA at regular intervals of about 2.5 to 3 years, where they were recruiting him to go over and fertilize these fields, flying an agricultural aircraft with mounted 50 caliber machine guns. And he relayed this story to me, like I said, in the mid-'80s. And when I heard Jack speak, I thought, yeah, that sounds familiar. And it does not sound like Jack is wrong to me.
No, I wasn't suggesting that at all. In fact, he was right about a lot of things. I just think some of the things, you know, we'll just have to wait to see if it pans out and proves to be true. But certainly there was a lot of information there that he provided that is incontrovertible, and which obviously means factual. But, yes, and we appreciate you for calling in and providing further evidence of that fact.
Absolutely.
Hey, thank you again, Mark from Oregon. The lines are open, ladies and gentlemen, and we appreciate everyone who has tuned in tonight. And for all of those who will listen to us on the broadcast archives, I want to remind you that the Political Cesspool has an archive, a library of shows past that are available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dating all the way back to 2005, which was just a few months after we originally burst onto the radio airwaves. You can check our website and look at our blog, our archives, email us. Great website we've got, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you value the work of this program, we need you to stand with us and give us your financial support as well. This is a listener-supported program. We don't exist. Our work can't continue without your considerations. But Liberty News Radio has also provided free podcasts now for each program we air. I know a lot of people like to listen to us when they're out doing exercises or driving in the car. We got a letter from a gentleman in Oklahoma last week. He goes hiking and listens to us. It's a spiritual thing, I guess. Certainly is for me to host this program. But listen, just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's all there. Take the time to familiarize yourself with our ever-changing and ever-improving website. But we are in open mic hour right now, and we've taken a couple of calls from Alderman Clint Lacey in Missouri and there, Mark in Oregon, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call.
Back up with that fellow just said. You may or may not remember, James, when we had Colonel Bo Grice on several years ago. He mentioned the same thing. He mentioned a friend of his, a General Kum Saul in Burma, who Colonel Grice was good buddies with during the Vietnam War. You know, Colonel Grice, he made the references, you know, he went back, you may not remember it, he went back into Vietnam, Cambodia, into Burma, looking for POWs and, you know, MIAs. And he got together with his general buddy because he ran, the general buddy, come to find out, was running a massive, one of the largest drug cartels in the world. And when Grice found out about it, well, he was kind of chastising his buddy. Come to find out, you know, the United States government, some of the highest people in the government of the United States, was involved in this drug ring. What just so happened, I don't know if you know it or not, but another coincidence, you know, Sonny Bono, the famous singer with Sonny and Cher, and he became a congressman with the state of California. Well, see, Sonny Bono was also getting ready to take off. He was launching an intense investigation of politicians and other government officials being involved in the drug trade. Well, Colonel Grice was one of his investigative sources, and they made reference to Colonel Grice this interview I heard, and Sonny Bono had gone off with the other congressman. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. On a Christmas vacation, Sonny Bono was an expert skier, and supposedly he ran into a tree.
Well, listen, you know, it's interesting that all of the people who are about to do something or are in the midst of doing something always have a head-on collision with a tree, or obviously, as covered on this program, they love single car accidents, which was the demise of Austrian nationalist George Hader.
Exactly.
It happens all the time, every day.
Well, you know what? The Bono had another one of his investigators had referenced the fact of the poppy fields, exploding over in Afghanistan. What happened was, Al Qaeda, the so-called Al Qaeda, led by Bin Laden, the evil Bin Laden, they got rid of all the poppy fields over there, so the CIA couldn't.
Hang on. We got to take another timeout. Give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, during this break. 1-866-986-NEWS.
The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
I don't know what it is, Eddie. There's just something about Frankie Valli's falsetto that just puts me in a good mood. It makes me feel good on the inside and like we maybe we can win this whole thing. I don't know. That's the power of music, though. It's good stuff. And, I'm a big singer, Ed. You and I have closed down a karaoke bar or two.
Hadn't we known? A fact, I guess I'm showing my age, but I came up when Four Seasons were in their peak, buddy. I remember that. I was in junior high school when that song came out.
And they're still singing. I mean, that man is, born in 1934. He's older than you, Ed. He's still singing and...
I watched the movie last night called Sleepers, and
a lot of Four Seasons songs featured in that movie. You know it.
Oh, you watched it too. That's a great movie. There was a lot of really good Four Seasons songs. There certainly were. Hey, you know what? We're not just one dimensional here, folks, are we, James?
No, we're real people. We're real people, and we love each other. We enjoy the fellowship and brotherhood that we share with one another, and the brotherhood and familial bond that is shared with our listening audience. But we have no false pretensions on this program. We don't play characters on this radio show. We are who we are. We speak from our heart. We try to tell the truth in love. We try to do it as articulately and as professionally as possible. But at the end of the day, we're all real people. We work. We like to have a good time. We like to spend time with family and enjoy a good meal. We do all the stuff that real Americans do. We just take it a step further and produce and host this radio program because we think that our lives should be in service to a cause greater than ourselves. And certainly we believe that the cause embodied within our statement of principles, which can be found on our website, certainly deserve our very best. So many people throughout the history of our people have given a lot more. And our very best is like tattered rags compared to the sacrifices that our Confederate forebears and our American Revolutionary forebears what they gave up, but we do what we can with what we've got. This show is the result, and we're here because of you and your support. So that's it. But Ed, speaking of the land from whence we came, England. I got to tell you this: what's going on in London?
It's depressing, I know.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
Good news too. You got Nick Griffin over there. I got a email just before the program tonight from a gentleman in Arkansas, and I'm obviously not going to give his name, but it was just really one of the most humbling and gratifying emails I have ever received, and I want to thank that gentleman for taking the time to write us. He said that our radio program and the British National Party, in his opinion, were the two organizations that provided the most hope for our people. And he might be giving us too much credit, but he's certainly not giving too much credit to Nick Griffin and the BNP. There are some good things going on there and here and everywhere, but there's certainly a lot of things going on that we need to deal with, the least of which not being the fact that Mohammed is the most popular boy's name in London, and not just London, but three other regions in England as well, Eddie. The government, as usual, is trying to cover up this fact. They don't want the white folks to know just how rapidly they're being displaced in their ancient homeland. But the Telegraph reports that Mohammed has become the most common name for baby boys born in London and three other English regions. In the capital, the Islamic name, including its variant spellings, was twice as popular as the second place name, Daniel, in 2008. And for those who follow these things, Ed, this won't come as a huge surprise. We know that the UK's Muslim population is growing, both through immigration and through its higher birth rate. They get welfare. They can afford to have more kids. We have to work to feed and clothe and educate our kids. They don't. There's a big difference. Let's go to Wes in Idaho on the line, 1-866-986-NEWS, to be in the cesspool. Wes, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, a little additional information about vaccinations. It's not common knowledge, I guess. I've come to learn that Montel Williams, 30 years ago, got a typhoid vaccination and immediately went blind in one eye and spastic in his one leg.
No kidding.
I sent it to Ann Borsch, who wrote the book Curing Multiple Sclerosis, and she has, it's a very good book, but she didn't know it. Anyway.
Well, I didn't know that Montel had gone blind.
Well, it's temporary.
I guess it came back.
it was temporary thing. He went to the hospital. But anyway, it was 20 years after that he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Right.
The point being that you can be damaged by vaccination and it can not really be dormant, but it won't come to crisis levels for years later.
That's one of the big points that Dr. Russell Blaylock makes, sir. You're right on the target.
That's the point I wanted to make. Second point I want to make is autism can be treated with hyperbaric oxygen treatments. You ever heard that one?
I've heard of hyperbaric oxygen treatment, but I didn't know that if you could treat autism with it. That's a new one on me. But of course, we certainly can't know everything here, that's for sure.
They claim to have phenomenal success with autism and multiple sclerosis with these hyperbaric oxygen treatments.
You know, that's certainly, Eddie, I think you have found a gold mine here. Obviously, vaccines are the hot topic tonight with our listeners, but there are so many, and you would really have to have a program that's dedicated to nothing but this issue to give it full service. I mean, there's no way we could ever cover it in the cesspool with the format that we have and the issues that we're charged to cover. But there's so much out there with regards to alternative health and alternative treatments to any number of diseases. It's just its own show in itself, its own series. You're right. You could never cover it all. You can never know it all. And there's so much out there that people have no idea exists with regards to ways that they could become more healthy and less ill.
The disappointing thing about Montel Williams is he doesn't seem to make this connection. He's out there, I guess, pushing drugs. He doesn't come out against vaccinations.
Well, he'd be going against the hand that feeds him. He'd be biting the hand that feeds him if he did that.
Yeah, I guess if he did start speaking out, even if he
would have no more show.
Yeah, he'd have no more show.
Yeah, that's it.
That's not the least of Montel's problems, but that's one of them, you know. But listen, Wes, hey, thanks for calling in and giving us further information about that. And like I said, I mean, perhaps we should cover it more, but it's really, you really need to have health programs doing that because it's just so extensive. Well, we would never be able to cover anything else if we started.
What, James, I listen to a lot of health programs, and nobody seems to talk about this hyperbaric oxygen chamber treatment, which is having phenomenal success. They've got 65 of these chambers in England dedicated to treating multiple sclerosis.
Like Eddie said, that's a new one on me, but yep. I don't disbelieve it. I believe it could be very possible.
Check it out. Go to Spokane Hyperbarics. There's some other stuff on the Internet. I only got one book on the subject from the public library the other day. But, hey, it's the new thing.
It's the new thing. We're always looking for the new thing.
Well, it's 100% natural. How's it going to hurt? We're talking about oxygen under only 1.5 atmospheres. It's not that much pressure. They call it a 16-foot dive. You know, the same kind of pressure that you're going to get if you go 16 feet underwater.
That's incredible.
The lower pressure is actually supposed to be more effective. I thought they'd be talking 5 or 10 atmospheres. No, only 1.5. In fact, here's another one, James. You can buy these things now made out of fabric, these chambers, for home use for like $5,000-$10,000.
No kidding.
They'll fold up and go in your trunk. You can take them across town and set them up.
Well, Wes, do you have, let's just say somebody's interested in that. Do you have a resource how would anybody go about getting it?
I've only been at it a week or two learning this stuff. It's on the net, though. There are quite a few manufacturers of these fabric collapsible chambers. And then you have to also decide on whether you're going to do a high percentage oxygen. And I guess there's some kind of contraption that will pump more oxygen into them. I don't know whether the price that I just quoted, that is included or not. You know, I am at the point of just learning about this stuff. But HBOT, they call it. Oh, let's go to the next caller.
Well, thank you so much, Wes, for bringing that to our attention, and thanks for listening to the show.
Yeah.
Hey, James, I'd like to make, you know,
yeah, go ahead, Ed.
Oh, I'd like to make a comment on what you talked about, Mohammed being the popular name in England. Do you know what? I would just like to let those legislatures, you know, in the Parliament of England, all those fat and happy politicians, I'd like to let them know that if they keep sitting on their butt and they keep insisting on being race haters, well, you know what? That'll be the most popular name in the Parliament.
Well, you got that right, Ed, and, we got to take a break. We'll pick it up right after that.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, we're going to try to conclude tonight's program with the bang. And with that being said, I got a pretty horrendous story here, and you can read more about it by going to our blog. You got to go to the blog, though, at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our official internet headquarters. There you will find a video of a widely publicized crime, hate crime, if there is such a thing, in which a group of black thugs attacked a white kid on a school bus. So basically the story is this, and the video confirms this. You can watch the video at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. A white kid gets on a school bus, and there aren't many seats left. Several blacks tell him he can't sit with them. Finally, he does take a seat, and one black kid begins beating him. A bunch of other blacks stand up and cheer the beating on, yelling, boom, boom, every time a punch is landed. Finally, someone intervenes and things settle down. Then 5 minutes later, he's attacked again. Now, this happens every day, multiple times in every urban city across the country, black-on-white crime. The interesting thing about this story is that police, surprisingly, were originally admitting that race could have been a factor in the beating. Then apparently, shortly thereafter, the police chief who issued that statement must have consulted his SPLC or ADL manual on hate crime and recanted his statement by saying he spoke too soon, it wasn't racially motivated. But of course it was. I just guess, though, cops won't be happy until Americans have as little respect for them and as they do for the media. Now, increasingly, the cops are nothing but pawns for the SPLC and the ADL and the media elites, especially when it comes to crimes against white people by non-whites. But it doesn't stop there. Again, all of this is documented, ladies and gentlemen, with links to the original stories and the video at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. But there's one more facet to this story I got to tell you about. Surprisingly, once again, Matt Drudge listed this story on his website, The Drudge Report. He mentioned it. Which you're not supposed to mention black on white crime. Everybody knows that. He broke the rule there. And Matt Drudge, some things he says, all right. He's certainly not with us on matters of intimate importance, I guess you would say. But he did list basically the story there. He posted nothing but a picture and a factual description of the account. He didn't even mention that the people cheering the attack were black. But I read on another prominent website an article written that asked the question, is Matt Drudge openly calling for a race war? So essentially, reporting the news is now racist. I could have told you that 5 years ago. We get called all sorts of names that we're not because we tell the truth on this radio program. Matt Drudge simply posted the story about this black-on-white crime that we're reporting now on his website, and the media issued a headline asking the question, is Matt Drudge openly calling for a race war? They believe the media has a moral obligation to downplay black-on-white crime, ladies and gentlemen, especially when the victims are white. The media is well aware of the horrendous levels of black and brown crime, and they believe it's their duty to keep that information from European Americans because they evidently believe that if white people knew the facts about non-white crime and how deeply and how many non-whites are engaged in these attacks, and the U.S. Department of Justice backs this up, that they might revolt. But, Eddie, you take all that and put it into one, and you got a pretty damnable story there.
Yes, you do. And, you know, talk about suppression of the media wanting to suppress things. I was just thinking about, I got the letter from Duke the other day, and he points out, probably for the second time in a while, that, you know, there was almost 40,000 white women raped last year by blacks, and almost no blacks raped by whites.
And where is this information coming from? It's coming from the United States Department of Justice. But to regurgitate,
I mean, if you try to tell people that in your church or other places, you know, people, they act like they've been groped, James. Like, you know, they're scared to death they're going to be called a racist.
When the Department of Justice says there were 40,000 black on white rapes, that's over 100 a day. 100 a day. And you obviously can't say that a federal entity is a racist entity. You know, they might be racist for reporting this fact, but it's hard to believe that a government entity would be quote unquote racist. So they're just providing the facts. Now, when we do it, we're racist. They can do it, and I guess they can get away with it. When we repeat it, we're racist. But listen, 40,000, according to the U.S. DOJ, black on white rapes. That same year in which they reported that number, the number of reported white-on-black rapes was less than 10. 100 a day, over 40,000 for the year. And on the other hand, white-on-black rapes, less than 10, single digits, according to the United States Department of Justice. So, yeah, I think there's a disparity there worth mentioning on the radio.
Just a little bit. And that would be really, the 10 would be what they call statistically insignificant. And I'll bet you a dime to a donut that those so-called black women that were raped probably were, predominant white blood. You know, I would bet that. I mean,
well, it doesn't pay to find out, and it's not really that important. I think 40,000 to 10 pretty much does all the talking. But, you know, we've still got a long way to go. I think, Ed, I want to hope that a lot of people are waking up to some of these truths. You have seen some encouraging trends this year, and we've talked about them on this program. You've got all those tea parties. I'm talking about from coast to coast over the course of the last several months, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of European Americans waking up and speaking out on issues of life or death importance. You had the big, big march on Washington on September 12th, the 9/12 march. All of these things, you look at the pictures, it's nearly, and I'm talking about 97%+ European American in attendance. And you would think that white folks would begin to wake up to that fact, but judging by yet another video that we have for you on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, most of them still don't have a clue. And it's encouraging and it's discouraging, Ed. It's encouraging to see so many of our people waking up and speaking out on issues that we can all agree on, lower taxes, less government interference, so on and so forth. But then you got to watch this video. as testament to that they don't have a clue as to how to fix these things, because you got these hundreds of people at this recent march on Washington, and they're cheering as an idiot white Republican, some idiot white Republican rapper does his thing, and you know, so they're cheering this white rapper, so to speak. But all you got to do to get a cheer from these people, as I mentioned on my blog, is mention Reagan or Coulter or say Glenn Beck for president, and you know they go nuts. So they got a lot to learn, but at least they're beginning to come together. We got less than a couple of minutes left, but I got to get to Jim in New York, who is on the line. My good friend Jim, how you doing?
Good, Jim. How are you tonight?
I'm hanging in there, doing the best I can.
Hey, listen, man. I know we're getting to the top of the hour. I'm sorry. I just tuned in, but I got to tell you what. I just heard the story about the white kid beating up on the bus.
Right.
You know, in Buffalo, there was a gang of about 13, 14 black kids beat up this white kid. Here, I don't know if you heard this story. It did actually get out of Buffalo. A couple of other newspapers picked it up. Apparently, this kid was seeing some black girl, and they didn't like that very much, and they took a brick to his head. You know what? I think that what we need to be able to do at some point, I think what we have to head is we have to be able to sue everybody along the line that put our children in harm's way by lying to them since they were little kids. You know what I'm saying? That includes the media, the schools, everybody.
I'm with you. Listen,
okay,
I'm with you.
That's what I think has got to happen, James. I'm sorry, but we have to start holding the people accountable for lying to our children and deliberately putting them into harm's way.
Well, listen, it's like I said on CNN. If Channing Christian and Christopher Newsom had not been subjected to this brainwashing day in and day out about how we're all diverse, they wouldn't have been in that area where they were raped and burned and mutilated and murdered by these black thugs. You know, this is something. You're right. We've got to put a stop to it. We've got to protect our kids from these damaging messages that they're getting from all forms of media. But Jim, listen, we're doing what we can with the audience that we've got. I know you're doing it as well. And I want to tell you, I was actually just going to email you after the program tonight. I have been out of town. I just got your email yesterday with regards to Oracle Broadcasting. I want to commend you for the leaps and bounds that your activism is growing. We have about 20 seconds left. Jim Berryman in New York, give out your website. I want people to come and see what you're up to.
Please check it out. Micro1650am.com. James, one of these days we got to have you back on, buddy, to talk.
Absolutely. Jim Berryman, host of
Radio X,
and he's also the manager of one of our affiliate stations in Buffalo. We got to go. Jim, thanks for calling in. For Eddie Miller and the rest of our staff and crew here in Memphis and elsewhere that make the Political Cesspool Radio program possible, we love you, everybody. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Live life like we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you on Saturday.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.